Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. It's another View from the Bland Stands. Friend of the program, Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald is here to join us to talk about the big win over Wisconsin, all the latest Husker news of the week, and of course, the Thanksgiving weekend matchup over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Before we get to that, look, I know I'm in the minority here, common fans. I can acknowledge that much. I just don't like turkey, and I don't think that makes me a bad person.
Watch your
mouth. And if you're like me and you want to have beef on Thanksgiving, there's nothing wrong with that. So go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese beef, premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. It's the holiday season. You can get your prime rib roast now. Maybe you want to stick to the old reliable. Maybe you just want to go ribeyes. You want to go New York strips. You want to go sirloin. You want to go fillets. Whatever you want to do is fine. There's no judgment here.
No.
There's no judgment on this program. It's a judgment-free zone.
I had a fillet tonight.
Jeff had a fillet tonight. Yeah. How about that? If you want to get ground beef, if you want to get beef bacon, if you want to get beef ribs, they have all the
hot
best
dogs.
Hot dog beef.
A 5-pound roast.
Beef brats. Yes.
You want to go nuts and get a tomahawk? They got those too.
Yeah.
Yes.
The roast is a good. It's like crock pot season. So roasts are, you know.
Yeah. Tri-tip roast.
Choice.
Chuck roast. The whole deal. Rib roast. Prime rib roast. All the things. Mm-hmm. If you go to cpbeef.com, common fans, use the promo code common fan, all one word, common fan. It gets better. You get 25% off your order.
Wow.
At cpbeef.com. Doesn't get any better than that. It's the holidays. It's December. Yeah. Treat yourself already.
Enjoy yourself. It.
It's almost December. It's the Christmas season just about. So go to cpbeef.com, use the promo common fan, or you can go to your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. You should also check out our website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with them. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Finally, speaking of the holidays, go to sillesco.com, sillesco.com, and get your Common Fan socks.
Yeah,
get them now.
A wide range of other fun and silly socks, hence the name, sillesco.com. Use the promo code GBR for life, GBR number 4 LIFE, GBR for life. You get 25% off Sillies socks, sillesco.com. Fun stocking stuffers. They're great gifts for your spouse. They're great gifts for your kids. They're great gifts for your friends. Who doesn't need more socks? Everybody needs socks. And yep, Common Fan designs are super cool. And the holiday designs are fun. They got all kinds of fun stuff at sillesco.com. So check out sillesco.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. Woo! Boom. Evan, that's a lot. How are you, Evan? We got a bowl game. You're probably going to be going somewhere warm in December. Have you been looking at new bathing suits online? Are you going to order a new bathing suit?
No, I don't think I am. I have two, and they're both kind of underused as it is.
Yeah.
Generally
right,
speaking,
you're all set.
Appreciate the concern. Yeah. But, I mean, if Nebraska wins, it could be Tampa for the ReliaQuest Bowl. That's probably the best case scenario at this point. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, there's some other options on the table. I don't know how nice Detroit is in mid to late December.
You don't need a bathing suit for Detroit.
I don't think it's nice all year round, Evan. So you don't have to worry about that.
Sorry to any Detroit-based comment to Jeff's list out there.
Detroit turns out
you gotta watch yourself in Detroit.
Yeah, he eats Snickers, right. Casseroles, and Detroit.
Tampa for the which one is it? ReliaQuest.
ReliaQuest.
Is that in Tampa?
We were talking
It's the former Outback Bowl.
Yeah,
right?
Was it the Outback? Yeah,
yeah. Hmm. So that's like the high end. What are the other possibilities? I know we've seen a little bit on Twitter. It's hard to know what to believe. What else are people saying?
Yeah, so you know the former Quick Lane. I think it's now Game Above Sports Bowl. The one in Detroit. There's still projections for the Pinstripe in New York, and a couple other kind of, Duke's Mayo isn't totally out of the question in Charlotte. I don't know that Nebraska would want that, having Matt Rhule go back to where he was the coach of the Panthers and just kind of the storylines that would come with that. But
yeah,
it's kind of the range, and it's actually, a better situation, quite honestly, than probably Nebraska deserves. But when you have four Big Ten teams in the CFP at this point, that moves everybody else up. And so you've got Illinois as kind of that team that looks like it's locked into the citrus. And then after that, it's pretty much wide open. And so if Nebraska beats Iowa, it would have, not that this necessarily matters, but they would have the tiebreaker on them and Rutgers. And obviously any bowl that can get Nebraska would love to have them with the fan base and just the
thirst. That's what I was going to say. Does that play a factor where these bowls know the Husker fans are going to travel? They haven't been to a bowl in 8 years. They're going to travel. They're going to spend money. They're going to fill up the stadium. I assume that all matters, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, in a lot of ways, it matters more than whether you have seven wins or eight wins. A lot of these things, when you're outside the CFP, it's teams and really it's networks trying to find the best storylines and find the best matchups. And so if they can get a bunch of people out into the community and into their bowl stadium during the game, like that's all you can ask for. And Nebraska is pretty much the perfect bowl profile at this point in terms of how long it's been since they've been out in December and how well the fan base travels anyway. So, I mean, it's very possible they could play late December against a pretty decent SEC team if they beat Iowa here this weekend. So, 8-5 with a decent win over an SEC team still in play if things break right.
I saw LSU was up in the air there for a minute. I don't know if that's true.
Do we want to play LSU?
Yeah, we want to beat Brian Kelly. Sure. Yes, we do. Yes,
okay.
We do.
Okay. Sorry.
Oklahoma
would be super cool.
Missouri,
Oklahoma would be super cool.
I'd love Oklahoma. But some of these teams, guys that are going to have more guys drafted higher than us, are probably going to have guys opting out of the bowl game. Mm-hmm. So, we don't need to be scared to play. I mean, I'm not scared
to
play
LSU. It doesn't matter. After beating Wisconsin, we can play with anybody. We can beat anybody. It doesn't matter. We're back to that. We want everybody's best shot. And Music City Bowl in Nashville.
Music City.
Is that one on the table?
Yeah, that one's in there too.
That one.
Okay.
Is the Belk Bowl still a thing? Belk?
That's the Duke's Mayo Bowl now. So this is perfect actually, because I'm having a story coming out here later this week about Nebraska, what's changed since Nebraska was in the postseason in 2016, and so it answers a lot of these questions. What happened to the Belk Bowl? What happened to the Foster Farms Bowl? It's been eliminated. Some of the rules that have changed since then. I was looking back. This is just a quick aside, but when Nebraska, I had kind of forgotten when Nebraska played Tennessee in 2016 in the Music City Bowl, Tommy Armstrong was hurt. They had to go Riker Fife,
Oh
but they
boy.
also had a guy redshirting, four-star commit for a four-star former four-star player who was redshirting that year, Patrick O'Brien,
Okay.
and they had Tanner Lee, who was sitting out a year transferring from Tulane. And so those were two guys that under the current system could have played, would have played, didn't watch Nebraska get beaten. And so like it's amazing how much has changed since the last time they went. Opt-outs have become a
Yeah.
thing. Redshirt rules
Yeah.
have changed. The transfer portal is exploded. I mean, we knew 2016 was a long time, but when you talk about it, like in terms of the evolution of college football, it's crazy how much has changed.
That's
We try,
nuts.
we try not to attack individual players on this program very often. I'm not sure how much Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien really would have helped the cause against Tennessee. I remember my recollection from the Music City Bowl in 2016 was that they were just bigger, faster, and stronger than us. And also, Tanner Lee and Patrick O'Brien didn't go on to have the most illustrious careers as Nebraska quarterbacks. But anyway, interesting nonetheless. Everyone look for Evan Story and pick up the World Herald for
That's
crying out
cool.
loud at the gas station. Music City Bowl would be cool. Husker letter winner, friend of the program. Most importantly, my brother Andy Burkle now lives in Nashville.
Ah.
So I would imagine he'll be in attendance, and maybe I might just have to go join him
You
if
might
we're in
have to. There you
Nashville.
go.
Got
Yeah.
a
Place
free
to
place to
stay.
stay. Free place
Yeah.
to
They
stay.
probably wore jock straps back in 2016 and not compression shorts either, guys. I'm pretty
What the
sure about
hell,
that.
Jeff? I
I'm just
mean,
saying, that's when players are better, is when they wore jock
that's
straps.
what came to
This,
mind.
what is
Yeah.
wrong with you?
Have
What
you guys
is
ever been
wrong?
to a bowl game?
TJ has. I've never
Like
have.
of any
I have.
kind.
I've never had the opportunity, no.
I was at the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl when we beat Florida 62-24 for our second consecutive national championship.
And how do you ever top that is the
It's all
question.
downhill from there.
That was
Yeah.
incredible. And then I was also at the Rose Bowl against Miami in the
Ooh.
2001 season, 2002, yeah. Where we got so two
Yeah, well,
massive
yeah, we don't need to
games.
talk about
Yeah,
what happened
that's
in the
huge. You don't need
game.
to talk about
That's
the
awesome that
details
you were at
there.
the
You need to talk
Rose
about the
Bowl.
details there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Pretty dang cool. Pretty dang cool. Yeah. Some great bowl experiences. Evan, I watched part of Dana Holgorsen's press conference today. I love that man. Are we can we just I know I saw he kind of got the question put to him. It was asked in sort of a soft, roundabout way, but basically, like, have you thought about, I can't remember who asked it or how they asked it. It was kind of like, have you thought about what comes after the Iowa game? And he said he's taking Saturday off, which I thought was kind of funny. He's like, I'm doing nothing on Saturday. And he said, I'll start thinking about that stuff on Sunday. Any sense at all about, like, if he comes back, if that's in play? I assume Matt Rhule wants that. I mean, Matt Rhule's kind of said he wants that. Does Holgorsen want that? Like, does he want to be a head coach? Is he open? Like, this feels like a great fit for him for a lot of reasons. He talked today about how much he loved it, how much fun he
Yeah.
was having on the sideline after being a head coach for 13 years. He loved just being able to call plays. But if a guy wants to be the head man again, it's hard to fight that. So any idea on Holgorsen and
Yeah, I mean,
where
the
what
way
he's
I wrote
thinking?
it today was like, this is a guy who is going to make a ton of play calls Friday, but he has no script for what the rest of the month or 2025 is going to look like for him yet. And
Yeah.
he's a guy who, as we know, is going to speak his mind. He's very blunt. But the one thing he didn't want to address today or at his press conference was his ambitions. It wasn't that was kind of the question was, does he want to be a head coach again? And he said he was blunt. He said, I don't want to answer that. So I think that would lead you to believe either he does want to be a head coach, or maybe there's some leverage play in there. He's a pretty known gambler, so like sometimes you want to keep your intentions close to the chest a little bit there.
You hear that, Owens? He's a known gambler. You like that
I
guy, don't you?
mean, it's
You like that guy, don't you?
you can lay eyes on the guy
Yeah.
and see what kind of offense he runs and make an educated guess that he likes to gamble a
You can
little
see him
bit.
at the craps table or something.
Game respects game, Owens.
Probably
Game respects.
has the glass has some glasses down at the br on below the bridge of his nose
Yeah.
while he's doing it. Yeah.
But I
Right.
think the big, like, to me, the big question is, this is a guy who, as we know, has been a head coach for a lot of years, but the current climate of college football is not for everybody in that way. So you've seen a lot of coaches that have moved on to the NFL or they've retired or whatever because they don't want to deal with raising NIL funds and figuring out revenue sharing and limiting rosters and all that. And so, like, I thought what he said about, I just got to call plays. And that's what I came up in. That's what I love. That's what I'm good at. I think that does resonate. Now, the question is that enough year round, right? Like, you're only calling plays a handful of Saturdays in the fall every year. What are you doing with the rest of the time? He wouldn't necessarily have to recruit. How does he want to live in Lincoln? Like, when he was at Houston, that was a big thing, was he got to live in Houston
We have a casino.
and yeah, go to the casino, have a social life, like all that stuff. If you read back on his career, mattered to him then. So has that changed now, or does he want to be a head guy? So, like, I can't answer that other than to speculate and say, is he like he does he has said that he's pushed himself to learn different offenses. Certainly that's been the case at Nebraska. Like, he's not a guy who I think is just kind of set in his ways. He's been willing to adapt and try new things. So in that sense, that might lead you to believe that he would be willing to tackle a head coaching job. Of course, one has to come along. As far as we know, he hasn't been offered one. So we'll see what opportunity comes up. What does he want to do? But certainly, Nebraska would love him to stick around. And I think it's pretty clear watching the
Need him.
games that he's had an impact in terms of personnel and play flow and just a lot of the things that we've talked about before, where, like, you get so zoned in on certain things as a coach. He's been that fresh pair of eyes who's maybe brought a little bit of common sense and a lot of experience to what they're doing on that side of the ball.
Listening to him today, I loved it. He was basically like, hey, they've got everything in this playbook. Matt Rhule's been in the NFL. Marcus Satterfield loves the pro style. And he was talking about how he came up in the air raid system. And whoever designed that, it's basically opposite of the pro style system. And he said, Raiola's been in the NFL. He's added to it. Glenn Thomas has been in the NFL. He's added to it. But I loved what he said. He said, basically, there's one play sheet. And if we're not running it well, it's not going on the play sheet. So basically, like, kind of making the point that his job has been to come in, figure out what they do well. Clearly, he's added some wrinkles as well, but figure out what they do well. And just simplify things. And he talked about how, he was talking about Ja'Cory Barney, and he made the point of receivers having to play different positions, do different things. And he's just simplified it and said, each guy's going to have one job, and that's all they're going to have to worry about. And it just seems so simple, but I love it. Like, you could see, like, you could attribute at least part of the problem in the middle of the year to too much being on guys' plates and too many plays being in the playbook. And not, we said many times on this program, they don't do anything particularly well. So his approach seems so common sense and so simple, and it's clearly had a huge impact.
Yeah, it has. And it's just, I think he had a really good compliment for Matt Rhule and his culture that he set in saying that as he put it, the give a crap factor for the players is so high that it allows him to be himself, blunt, to the point, and guys take that the right way. And so Thomas Fedoni was a great example of that, where he's asked, hey, why are Nate Borkercher and Luke Lindenmeyer getting the majority of the snaps? Thomas Fedoni saw three offensive snaps on Saturday, and that was a coach's decision. And he said, hey, Fedoni had his best practice on Tuesday since Holgorsen's been there, and he expects him to have an impact on Saturday. Even Barney, who he was very complimentary of, he was like, yeah, there was a time a couple of weeks ago when his back got a little tight, and I said, oh, you must not be the guy that I thought you were. And he's like, hey, you just snapped out of it and got going from there. So, like, I think it says a lot about who these guys have been, these players, that they take it as well as they do. And so it really feels from a personality standpoint that it was right place, right time. And you got to give Rhule a ton of credit for making the move when he did. And it very, very possibly salvaged a bowl game and potentially more than that for what Nebraska's got going right now.
Yeah,
Steve,
I
go ahead, Jeff.
no, I just in addition to what you said there, I mean, I think right move, right time. Like, I did wonders for, I think, just Dylan too. He just looked different and was, I think they did a really good job of whatever they were running there, he was comfortable in doing. He wasn't scrambling, and he just seemed back to his old self, so to speak. And so that was really good to see too.
Yeah, decisive. He's getting the ball out quicker, just look more confident. Yeah.
I mean, assume, let's say Holgorsen gets a dream head coaching job and he's not back. It seems, I mean, they're going to go, like, they're not going to, I can't imagine they're going to run it back with Satterfield again. Like, I would imagine Matt Rhule is going to go find someone else. Do you have any insight on that?
I mean, not at this point. I mean, I'm sure Matt Rhule's like everybody else. Like Matt Rhule hopes Holgorsen stays, and that's something that he's not even going to really think about until next week at the earliest. But I think it probably, the takeaway is probably that you need to have a guy with more experience in there. And Satterfield had some play calling experience. Certainly his top trait was that he was a Rhule guy, a Rhule loyalist who was going to promote the same messaging and things of that nature. But I think what we've seen it, and Matt Rhule said this too, like there's value in having guys who have been head coaches on the staff who can also kind of help mentor the younger guys, who can take the pressure, who aren't learning on the job at Nebraska. I think sometimes that's been too much of a thing with the Huskers, is guys learning on the job instead of getting their feet wet elsewhere and coming in as experienced, kind of known commodities. So, Tony White was that guy. He had been a successful DC at Syracuse, and that's gone pretty well by all accounts. And so I would imagine the emphasis would be on one of or both of the ideas of, hey, someone who's experienced as a play caller. Maybe they've been a head coach or have had that experience. Who that is, I mean, so much is going to change in the next month with potential staff changes elsewhere and opportunities that come up, what Holgorsen decides. So we'll see. But I think those are some, generally speaking, some qualities or traits that he'd be looking for.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I for one really I would love to have him stay, most importantly because I would love to cross paths with him at a casino. As I'm a terrible gambler. I'm bad at it. And I feel like he would be that guy that would yell at me at the blackjack table because I hit when I wasn't supposed to and I stole one of his cards. We've all gambled with that guy before, haven't we?
Are you that guy,
TJ.
Jeff? You don't go by the
No,
book, Jeff?
TJ, you're that guy, aren't you? You yell at
I'm
people
not
for
that
hitting.
guy.
Are
I'm not that
you?
guy.
I've seen you play blackjack before.
No, you haven't.
I have too.
I'm that
Definitely
guy
gonna be. I
internally.
played
I won't call someone out, but I'll hate them on the inside that they ruined my hand by playing it badly.
The only thing I'll do is like on a 16 or something where it's like you could go either way. It kind of depends on the field, but I'll take that card sometimes. I'll take that card, Jeff.
I'm
I'm
that
not
guy that
afraid to
like
take that
the
card.
dealer's like guiding me, like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are
What
you sure you
should
want
I
to do
do? Wait, what are you
that?
saying? What are you saying, dealer?
Am I supposed to split them? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I'll stay. I'll stay.
You have five.
Yeah.
I also like to live dangerously.
Very good. Yes.
All right, Evan, is the World Herald chartering a plane to Iowa City, or how you're all getting there? You're not, are you driving on the day of? Are you going on Thanksgiving Day, or how does this interrupt your holiday plans?
Actually, it works out pretty well. I have family in Des Moines, so I'm going to be in Des Moines for Thanksgiving and then just bop over to Iowa City. The big change is that the game is at night. And I was trying to do a little bit of research today. I think it's been at least since the early 80s or late 70s since Nebraska played a night game at Kinnick. If you think back, it's always 11 a.m. or mid-afternoon maybe. So it's going to be a different dynamic out there, and we'll see what the crowd's like because it is a holiday weekend, and who knows what kind of student presence you'll have. But typically, I mean, it's really hard to win at Kinnick, especially at night. And you look at what they've done this year. I mean, they're a 54-yard Iowa State field goal from being perfect at home, and they've really rolled most of the teams they've played in their own venue. So I think that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be cold. That's kind of the other interesting twist to this game, is it'll be the first game that the off Nebraska's offense operates in freezing temperatures. So we'll see how big of a deal that is or isn't. But yeah, kind of a different iteration of this particular rivalry, and we'll see how it goes. This time bowl eligibility is not on the line, so it kind of ratchets things down just a little bit. But I'll be curious to see what kind of crowd they get for this thing on a night game the day after Thanksgiving.
Me, TJ, and Matt were on an Iowa podcast for doing a preview with them for the game this week. And those two seem to be a little concerned that because of the weather, they might not have as strong a showing as they would hope for. So they seem to be a little concerned about that as
Yeah,
well.
they did mention the students are on break too, so it could be a factor.
Yeah, and one of those guys was with me on no turkey on Thanksgiving, by the way, just in case
Yeah.
anybody's interested.
All right, so there's two of you weirdos in the United States. That's cool. Glad you found each other.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. We looked back at I think Eric, as Matty O likes to call him, Eric Stratton, Rush Chairman, is going to be starting for Iowa at
And
quarterback.
he's damn glad to meet you.
Damn glad to meet you. Jackson Stratton, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He attempted against Maryland, he attempted 14 passes, I think it was, and completed 10 of them for 76 yards or something like that. They're kind of in dire straits when it comes to the quarterback position, but it being Iowa, it doesn't seem to matter.
Right. I mean, it's their fourth string quarterback at this point. They're not going to expose him. They don't really like to expose any of their quarterbacks anyway, but all the more in this case with the injuries that they've had. And like you said, like they don't have to. I mean, Caleb Johnson's been the best back in the Big Ten this year. He's the single season Iowa record holder for rushing touchdowns. He's got 21. He's a home run threat. He can get you the short yardage as well, and he's got a really good line. So it's one of those games, I think, that it especially emphasizes a quick start, because if you fall behind against a team like Iowa, if you're down 10 nothing or something, like the possessions are limited. They're going to run the ball on you. It's like trying to stop, lava coming down. I mean, it's just really hard to get back into that thing. But if you can start ahead, if you can get a quick touchdown and play even and maybe force them to be uncomfortable offensively as the game goes along, like I think that's the ideal situation for Nebraska. And the part of their defense that's struggled of late has been the secondary for the Huskers, injuries and different things. But Iowa's not going to really challenge that. So to me, this comes down to the interior of that defensive line. Can Ty Robinson and Nash Huntmaker have a big game? And then what teams have done, if they can't run it up the middle, has been going to the edge. So, Jamari Butler and Prince Wiluiemielen and John Bullock as a linebacker, like those guys need to be consistent, because Iowa does a lot of zone blocking, and you just have to be really disciplined with that, or Caleb Johnson's going to make you pay. So I think the first quarter, first and second quarters especially, are going to be really telling on how the game goes. And the X factor to me is Nebraska offensively. Like, as we just talked about with Holgorsen, can they be the team that they've been the last game and a half, or are they going to sort of regress, or at least look like they regress against a better defense in Iowa? So really intriguing game. Feels like it's going to be a one score game. Typically those haven't gone Nebraska's way in Iowa City. Iowa's the team that wins November games. Nebraska hasn't been. So another kind of breakthrough moment or possibility for them, but maybe
Yeah.
without the stakes of, hey, like our postseason lives are on the line here. So that won't be the case.
All of this, getting the win over Wisconsin, going to a bowl game, a breakthrough. I don't know if you guys remember Jerry Maguire. This has been running through my head for probably a couple of weeks now, that line where he's like, break down, break through. And that's been my, ever since like before the Wisconsin game, I keep thinking, break down. Breakthrough, specifically with Nebraska football. Anyway, sorry, neither here nor there. Evan,
No.
Nebraska, like it feels like for damn near a decade, the Huskers have struggled with Iowa's outside zone running scheme. And it's funny that Holgorsen was more talking about their defense, I think, but he was talking about playing when he was coaching at Texas Tech, playing Iowa in a bowl game in like 2001. And he was like, they could do the same thing. Nothing's changed in 20 plus years. And that's probably true on offense too. Like, why can't we figure out? It just feels like we've had a hard time. And they've had in not last year, but in some years they've had a more balanced approach and they've had better passing quarterbacks. And so, they've been more balanced. Maybe if we can just load up to stop the run, it'll be a different story on Friday. But why has it been such a problem to stop Iowa?
I mean, yeah, they run a like you mentioned, a pro style running attack. Matt Rhule said Monday, like it's almost identical to what they run in the NFL. You think back to Kirk Ferentz, like early in his career, he was being wooed by NFL teams like every season. I mean, that's his his expertise has been line blocking. So like this is a guy who knows how to coach it, who knows how to identify guys, develop guys. Like that's been one of their hallmarks forever. And one of Nebraska's struggles for a long time has been they have good athletes, but they're not always disciplined. And so like that's the kind of attack that forces you sometimes to be patient, sometimes to trust your eyes and to not try to play hero ball and get a guy, and then you vacate your gap and the guy cuts back and you get burned. Like that happens, has happened for Nebraska a lot over the years. And so, you know, can you be disciplined? A lot of it's defensive coaching too. Are those guys going to be coached up to know what to look for in certain keys and how you defend a guy like Johnson and get around the blocks? And so it's tough. They haven't always been able to do it. And I think Iowa, in that way, and in a lot of ways, is just an example of like the power of stability and continuity. Like those guys sent, I mean, everyone who's there, Iowa was doing what it's doing before they were born. And so they grew up watching it. The coaches have done it for decades. They know what they're doing. This is not, they're not, this isn't what Nebraska's doing, in other words, with a crash course with a new coordinator in the last 3 weeks. Like they know what they do. They're not, it's not always pretty, but it gets the job done. And so that's the advantage that Iowa's had over a lot of the Big Ten for so long, is it's the same guy. They know who they are. They're not the sexiest team out there, but man, there's something to be said for just kind of having that identity defined and knowing what you're doing.
I'll tell you that these delusional Iowa fans will have you believe, though, that if the running game doesn't work out for them, the Stratton fellow just has a cannon for an arm. Owens, right?
Yeah,
Sports stringer.
they made it sound like Tim Lester found a real diamond in the rough with Jackson Stratton. And
Watch out.
you know, Jeff, us Husker fans
Guilty.
tend to wax poetic about
I
guys
just
that
love it.
really
I
aren't
love
as
it
good as
because
they are
everybody
too.
does it.
Yeah, oh
It makes
yeah.
me feel better. Everybody does it.
Oh yeah.
Knock themselves into anything.
Eric Stratton, Rush Chair.
Damn glad to meet you. Nebraska's had some stronger armed quarterbacks over the years. Jamal Lord had a good arm. It wasn't always Yeah.
accurate, but it was a good
Yeah.
arm.
He can
You know,
throw
Tommy
far.
Armstrong,
Tommy
same kind of
Armstrong and
thing.
his YOLO bombs.
That's right.
Evan, how have you only seen one win in Iowa City, or were you there in 2014, or were you at the World Herald yet?
I was not covering the Huskers in 2014. So no, I haven't. Well, I mean, they won it in 22 there.
Yeah, so yeah, sorry, I just had one win. Yeah, so but
Just the one.
that's the only one you've seen in Iowa City.
Yes, and it was
Well, and
wild.
I guess the last one in Lincoln would have been 20, oh my God, 20, was it 2012?
Would that have been Lincoln?
Because we
20
lost, no,
13.
2011.
No, it
Was it
was the year.
2011? We lost in Lincoln
No.
in 13, and then we lost 15, 17, 19. Has it been 20? Yeah, well, whatever. We're not playing in Lincoln this year, but I think it's been 2011 since we beat Iowa and Lincoln.
Jeez.
And then we beat them. We've only beat them one other time. No, that's not true. We beat them 2012 in Iowa City. That's right. That was, I think it was like 13-7. And that's where that
Cold.
clinched the real cold. It clinched the Big Ten championship game in 2012. Then we lost at home in a fumble fest in 2013.
Yeah.
And probably shouldn't have lost that game. And then we won in overtime in 2014,
Yeah.
in
2011
Iowa
in
in
Lincoln.
Iowa
Yep.
City. Yeah, and then the only one since then that we beat them is at Iowa in 2022.
I would say before they beat Colorado this year and Wisconsin last week, I would have said Iowa 2022 was their Nebraska's best win during the bull drought. I mean, to they kept Iowa out of the Big Ten West championship in that
That's
game. That was the
that felt good.
one where in the hour leading up to the game, it was leaked that Matt Rhule was going to be the coach. And so that interim staff got
Right.
to enjoy kind of that breakthrough moment that they had, and they were taking pictures on the field with the Heroes Trophy and not leaving, and it was a whole thing. Ultimately, it didn't lead to much or matter beyond that moment, but you know, it was cool. It definitely it it Iowa had things to lose, and that's the difference now, is Iowa doesn't really have anything on the line. Like they're a 7-win team, they're not ranked, there's no Big Ten West to be in contention for. So like they had an okay season. Not a great season by their standards. So there's not a ton for either team to lose. I mean, Iowa would have loved to keep Nebraska out of the postseason. And so really what it comes down to is someone's probably going to get to go to Tampa and someone's probably going to go to Nashville or Detroit or something. So there's that. But the teams really do hate each other. They
Iowa
really
and
do.
Nebraska.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Given you, do you have some specific things to share regarding the hate?
I mean, it's hard to get players to open up a ton about it. I talked to Ty Robinson this week to the side a little bit, and he's one of the best, more thoughtful guys, better quotes on the team anyway. And he's just like, yeah, we do hate him. And he's like, I can't put my finger on why. Maybe it's the colors, maybe it's their faces, maybe it's like something else. But there, I mean, there's and he's been around for 6 years. He's seen a lot of stuff. So it's like one of the things you lose in this era of super conferences is like the regional games that mean a lot, right? Like when Nebraska played Iowa State or Kansas State, like those games, you could drive there and it just you knew you had coworkers who were fans or from those places. And so Iowa was sort of a remnant of that time when it is Nebraska's only border rival. Most people in Nebraska know Iowa fans and vice versa. And so like, you just don't care for each other. You're kind of sick of each other. And this is that week when you have those bragging rights. So I think they feel that.
Oh, I love
Yeah.
that. I mean, they might not be,
Well,
I mean, it might not be playing for much either team, but that makes for a great rivalry game. That is just like, we just want to beat you, you
yeah.
know?
Well, I
Yeah.
remember a few years ago when they won on the walk-off field goal in Lincoln, I think, and the kicker's blown kisses.
Oh, God.
And
Yeah.
then last year, I guess Rhule said on Monday at the press conference, I guess they were saying last year when they beat us and when they won on a walk-off field goal in Lincoln, they were waving and saying Merry Christmas and
Yeah, have a good
stuff. And so,
Christmas.
like,
Yeah.
neither side likes
Yeah.
each other. And like,
No.
Husker, I think the Husker, fans, it's definitely legit with fans, but I think the players too would love to just go I
to
was
Iowa
just
and
staring
stuff.
down some fans when we were leaving the game last year. I was getting a little nervous. I thought we were going to run into some trouble there for a minute.
Oh,
He
Jeff,
kept his
I don't start fights, Jeff.
composure though.
I
He
might
finished
finish a
his
fight,
own.
but I'm not going to start one. Yeah.
You sensitive little Irishman, Jeff.
Well,
Evan,
you know,
let's
was
not
it
get
Jeff?
let.
It was, and it, you know what? It was a big deal for them. You know, they knocked
That's
off
right.
Big Bad Nebraska, Big Bad 5-win
Yeah.
Nebraska. So that's a
Five and
big
six
deal for
Nebraska.
Iowa. You
That's a big
know,
win.
when
That's
they
always a
take
big
down
win
a,
for Iowa.
when they take down a superior program, you know, that's a big deal for them.
See, Evan, if you don't know
Exactly.
Matt very well, this is his passive. You can tell the anger's there, the passive aggressiveness. He's angry right
This
now.
is what it's all about. So you're not gonna, that kind of angst isn't gonna come out when Nebraska's playing Purdue or UCLA. Like
Exactly not,
that's an
David.
Iowa sort of
Thing. Yeah.
vibe right there.
Exactly.
They're our main rival. They're our main
Evan,
rival.
I have this view in my, because I'm a sick Husker fan. I have this idea in my head that the Huskers like are gonna the Wisconsin game is just gonna be this kind of slingshot effect, and the offense is just gonna keep right on rolling. And Eric Stratton, Rush Chair is already arguably this one-dimensional quarterback, so we're just gonna shut down the running game, and we're gonna win handily. But I think all Husker fans would take it if we even won by one. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But I assume you hear from fans. I assume, well, obviously you hang out with the common fans all the time, and we love you. But I assume you get emails from fans and you interact with fans and whatever else. What do you, if you had told Husker fans at the beginning of the year they're going to be 7-5 and they're going to beat Wisconsin, Colorado, Wisconsin, or Iowa, I think most Husker fans would have taken that, don't you
Yeah.
think?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I thought Colorado was really important because it was an early season game and you needed to show something early on in season two under Matt Rhule. So that to me was still, I mean, that was way up on the list for me. I probably would have put it number one preseason. But yeah, I mean, Wisconsin has been the pebble in Nebraska's shoe for so long. They've been the yearly reminder that not only are you not in contention for the Big Ten, but you're not even close to being the best team in your own division.
Yep.
And we're going to beat you using the things that you used to do well to be nationally relevant. So, like, those are the things that just killed Nebraska fans for years against Wisconsin. So you beat that team. That team's a mess. That team's 2004 Nebraska right now,
Yeah.
ha having made a bunch of changes and trying to figure out who it is.
Go
And now
Gophers.
you've got Iowa, which is still Iowa, but it's not, you know, they're kind of beaten up and you know, yeah, to beat them 2 out of 3 years and to take that momentum into a bowl game and who knows what else. Yeah, I think it certainly means a lot. And you'd love to knock off a ranked team, that's kind of the next thing for Nebraska, whether that's potentially in a bowl or next season. Like, that's kind of the next thing, is you got to be a ranked team. You know,
Yeah.
that number's getting really big of consecutive losses. But you know, before you can be a national contender, you got to be the best team in the Midwest, be the best team in that group of your peers. And Wisconsin and Iowa have been better than Nebraska for a long time. So if you're starting to go up those steps and trying to ascend into CFP relevance, it starts with beating these teams. And so in that sense, yeah, it's really big for perception. It's really big, you know, to start turning a narrative that's been dogging the Huskers for a decade.
We'll probably talk about this more in the off season, but I would imagine, I don't know, 80 to 90% of Husker fans expected either 7-5 or 8-4. Like, is that fair? Like, don't you think, is
Reason,
that fair?
yeah.
And so, what's funny with that is what I have to remind myself. And I thought at one point I did predict 10-2, but no one's gonna hold me to that. But I like you when you think about it, like when you say that. Because we haven't had a winning season in so long. 7-5 sounds pretty good compared to 4-8 or 5-7. 8-4 sounds great compared to 4-8 or 5-7. But what you don't think about in the moment in March or May or July, when you're looking at the schedule and thinking about it, what you don't think about is then that means we will lose 4 or 5 games. And that means some of them will probably be close, maddening, frustrating losses. And so, like, I've had to remind myself lately, like, after, you know, we get this Iowa win and then go win a bowl game. Like, I think people are going to be elated.
Yeah, I think it puts us on track, like where we should
Yeah,
be. And
right.
we got to remind ourselves too, TJ. Like, remember earlier in the year, we were like, to your point, we were saying like, all right, 5-7 last year. Let's just get to a bowl game this year. But then it became, all right, well, let's win 7 games. And slowly, as we got closer to the season, for some reason, we started getting away from that. And then I think kind of the way the season started too is we
Yeah,
kind of got ahead
right.
of ourselves when we're 5-1. Of course, we think we're going to be, you know, giant killers at that point. And so I think it was just, we're just back to where we were supposed to be. We're back to where we were at the beginning of the year, thought-wise and mentality-wise about this season. So I'm positive about it. I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, it's just such a damn roller. Every season's a roller coaster like that, you know. I had to chuckle a couple of times. Well, because you don't, when you predict that 7-5 or that 8-4, you don't expect there to be 3 or 4 losses in a row. You know what I mean?
Or
Like, it's
that,
that
yeah.
gets
Spread them
that
out.
kind of starts getting at you a little bit and gnawing at you, and you're like, you know, you get 2 in a row. It's like, okay, now we're ready to turn it around. And then the third loss happens, and then it starts to creep into like the dark place, right? And that's where I think a lot of Husker fans were, you know, just 2, 3 weeks ago, especially after, I mean, after UCLA for sure. So yeah, I think they're right on track where they should be.
If
But
we beat Iowa and then win the bowl game and go 8-5, or I dare say, even if we like lose one of those, but if we split the next two and we finish 7-6, like come August 2025, Husker fans are gonna be talking CFP. Like,
well, they'd be
no
talking about it
doubt, no
regardless. It doesn't
doubt in
matter.
my mind,
Dylan
right?
Raiola was already doing it this week. Yeah. That doesn't help
Christ.
matters.
Like, we're going to get some transfer. Like, I think, Matt, you made this point on our last. We're going to get some transfers, or maybe on the when we talk to the Iowa guys, we'll get some transfers that we're excited about. We'll get some flips or some recruits late, some high school guys we're excited about. Maybe some shakeups in the coaching staff, whatever. And by January, we're going to be talking about Big Ten titles. And by August, we're going to be talking about CFP.
That's just what happens. That's what we do
Doesn't
as
matter.
Husker
Yeah.
fans.
And that's, you know what? It's the joy of being a fan.
Yeah,
Is it,
absolutely.
or is it the torture of being a fan?
It's both, Jeff.
Yeah. No,
Evan,
you
I'm
will there
sorry. Were you saying
you as
something
long as
earlier?
you've got as long as there's hope there, that's all we really want, right? We want hope.
Hope's
Hope's
is a
good.
good thing. Maybe the best
I was
hope.
just gonna say, I thought Matt Rhule had a good quote this week, citing somebody else who said it originally, but this idea of like progress, essentially it was like progress depends on when you measure it, or
I heard
success
that.
depends on when you measure it. So when they're in the middle of a losing streak, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of progress. When you beat Wisconsin, if you stopped it now, feels like there's progress. Next week, who knows? Maybe it'll feel like a splash of cold water, or maybe the momentum continues on. Like, that's the challenge, or one of the big challenges of being inside that building is like you gotta ride those ebbs and flows of momentum and stay true to what you do. And I think that's one of the best qualities that Matt Rhule has is like he is, I think, generally able to be self-aware, keep a big picture sense, and he's done it before. He's done it at Temple and Baylor, and things have changed. A lot has changed in college football since that time. But in terms of the record, I mean, year two at Temple and year two at Baylor, they were about a 500 team both times. And then they really got rolling in year three and had the kind of guys that they wanted in the system. So I think they're still learning or have been learning what it takes to win in the Big Ten, how that's different than it is winning in Texas in the Big 12 or in the Philadelphia area. So, you know, we'll see what kind of moves they make. Matt Rhule hasn't been perfect in all of his personnel and coaching hires, certainly. But I think the thing that you can definitely credit him with is like he's been able to identify, been quick to identify, relatively speaking, a lot of those issues and has been able to address them as they've gone on. So we'll see what those might be in this offseason and how that happens. But as we've said, like once you start making these offseason moves, hope's going to spring eternal and
Oh,
suddenly you're
yeah.
going to look pretty good next fall as well.
That's a really interesting point about the quote about progress and when you measure it. I feel like Husker fans have almost had it beaten out of them. But for those of us of a certain age, it doesn't matter the season, it doesn't matter the coaching staff or the roster or whatever else. Every loss, we grew up in a certain era where one to two losses a season was all that we experienced. And every loss was played a factor in the national championship conversation, the Orange Bowl conversation, the conference championship conversation. So I don't know about you guys, even still, like when the season starts and we beat, Sisters of the Poor to start the year or whatever, and we're 1-0, I'm watching the rankings. I'm mapping ahead in my head. So every loss still feels like monumental. It's again, maybe not quite as much. Maybe it's been beaten out of us a little bit. We're all going to be thrilled with 7-5 or 7-6 or whatever it ends up being. Going to a bowl game is exciting again, like all that. But I still have that somewhere in my brain, I guess, of
I mean,
like expecting, well, we're in it till we're not. And then
I
even when
think
we're not, the losses are so painful.
I think I know why though, and it's because you said it on the last time we had Evan on. It's because your standard is Nebraska needs to always be in like the top 10 every year. So yeah, you're gonna take every loss as hard as possible. So that doesn't surprise me at all, TJ.
I
That
think
should be the standard eventually. That should be the standard we strive to, Jeff. I realize, we have it to build up to that.
it's
I
like a
know, I
the
understand.
frustrating thing is like even if it's not every year. How about more than never in the last like 9 years, right? Like everyone has their day. Indiana's having their day. Iowa's had their day. Minnesota's had its day. Purdue's like, that's the thing is like
We
Nebraska
haven't
fans are
had
looking
one
around saying
day.
like, we can't, why can't we have one of these?
Yeah, right. Let's be
Like just
clear.
one.
I'm just gonna do my job.
None of those teams' best day is as good as the best days that we've had. Okay? Let's
No
be
doubt.
clear.
No
Let's be
doubt.
clear on that.
That's true.
Okay? Yeah, Iowa's best day is losing the conference championship. Okay? That's Iowa's best day. Let's be clear on that. I'm sorry, Evan. It's not directed at
No,
you, Evan.
it's a good point. So like, would you rather be like what's the more enjoyable fan experience right now? Is it Nebraska basketball, which is hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, ridiculous, but it feels like when they do something, hey, this has never been done. This is fun. Or do you want to be a Nebraska football fan who you've experienced and seen or at least heard of the highs and the level they've been to and know that they're not there right now? I think it's that's what's fascinating to me is like Nebraska football is great as it was. If you lived it, man, you're never going to forget it. But that's the shadow. That's the ghost that it's always back there, no matter what you do. You talk about, the field storming on Saturday against Wisconsin. And like, if you're over the age of, I don't know, 35, you're like, no, you shouldn't be storming the field. You're
Oh,
six and six. What are you
we got
doing?
friends in our group that think that exact same
But
thing.
if you're not, you're like, they've stunk ever since we've been alive to follow them. Dang it, we're going to celebrate this moment because it is a breakthrough in our lifetimes. Like that's the weird spot that Nebraska's in right now. So like 6-6 is thrilling for so many. But if you guys, I mean, anyone our age, it's just like this is, I mean, it's a totally different game from what it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
Maddie
point.
Jr. asked me if they're if we before the Wisconsin game, he said, if we win, are they gonna storm the field? And I'm like, no, they're not gonna storm the field. And then
There's
I'm like,
no
no,
way.
they really are. And I said, you know what? There are seniors at the University of Nebraska Lincoln campus who have never had a winning season or gone to a bowl game. Let them storm the damn field.
Two
Like,
field stormings this year.
yeah.
Yeah, I know,
Well,
too. Isn't
listen,
that crazy?
the common fans are young at heart, and we're all in our 40s, but we're pretty cool guys in our 40s, and we're young at heart. I don't think any of us have a
I listen
problem
to
with
some
that.
90s
No,
rap music. I
we're
listen to some good stuff there.
We know
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Jeff.
Yes,
Let
we
the
know you,
kids be kids. The children are the future.
Jeff. All right, guys. Anything else for Evan?
It's Thanksgiving. It's
No, let me
Thanksgiving.
think here.
What's
Okay,
your
yeah, Evan, favorite Thanksgiving side dish. We're not getting into turkey
and you know,
and beef
if you don't
here.
like turkey, this is a safe place to say it, Evan.
Nobody's like
Side
you,
dish,
TJ.
mashed potatoes and gravy.
You can't go wrong with
I
that.
mean, you know, that's like in a time when fast food reigns supreme, like you can't really do fast mashed potatoes. So like that's a slower cooked delicacy. So I'll take that. I'll weigh in on the turkey conversation. My opinion is I like turkey on Thanksgiving, but I will also say that there's a reason that you can't get turkey really anywhere when you're out and about in a restaurant. And it's because it's not popular enough that people are looking for it on the reg.
It's
So,
not good enough. It's not good enough, Evan. That's
well,
why.
yeah, I mean, those kind of things, I mean, that goes hand in
I
hand.
don't know. I
Spot
feel like,
on. Thank you, Evan.
is there
Spot
any
on.
like, so I'll
I
take
don't
it, but.
I think there might be something, a case to be made about like when you can hunt turkeys and stuff like that too. Like, can you just kill a turkey
Are you
in the
a
middle of
park
like
ranger
December?
now?
I'm just asking the question here. There's like hunting
Jeff, there.
seasons when like
People,
stuff
turkey
is available
season?
to eat.
Your
You
turkey,
know what I'm
I
saying?
hate to break it to you, Jeff. Your turkey's not wild caught, buddy. Like,
I'm just saying, isn't there like some...
people raise and produce turkeys like for the beauty of
wait, you're
producing
telling
turkey.
me that somebody doesn't go out into a field and shoot a turkey for me and bring
That's
it
what I'm
back
telling
and
you.
put it on our table? That's what
Yeah,
you're
we're
telling
even
me. That's what
telling you
you're telling me. I feel conned right now.
you got some
That
GSR on your meat. Yeah.
Uncle Bill isn't shooting a bird and walking it into the Jennie-O turkey plant and having him process it there for me.
Exactly. I feel
I
like
feel
I've
like
been lied to
exactly.
my entire life.
Evan. So, but further to your point, I've made a similar point. Like, you might go to your buddies on the 4th of July or, Labor Day or whatever, and they might be throwing steaks on the grill. They might be able to make a ham. Like, there's any number of things they might be making. You know what they're not making? You know what you never hear when you walk into your friend's house, or you know what you never do when you're hosting friends over? You never say, "Hey, we got a bird in the oven. Can't wait. Can't wait, guys. Come on, here's a crack open a beer, and we got a huge bird in the oven." Everybody'd be like, "Oh,
The
Evan's crazy. What are
exception
you talking
to that is if you're at like, I don't know, like a pumpkin patch or a Renaissance festival or something, and you can get a
about?" Oh, the
turkey
turkey
leg.
leg.
Yeah,
You get one of those
true.
puppies.
State Fair.
Yeah.
I'll take
Yeah.
that. I mean,
That's a
there's a
good point,
novelty to
Evan.
that that I would
So
absolutely take.
I do have a follow-up question to that too. So you have different ways of cooking a turkey. Have any of you ever fried or had a fried turkey before?
Yeah,
Is
I
it
don't
good?
better.
So,
It's
I don't
better
think
than
so.
an oven turkey.
So, like in my experience, I've only seen people doing it, and like I've never,
Blown
I've, there's
up.
either, yeah, there's only, there's no middle ground. It's either it's really, really good or you die.
Yeah,
Somebody
and I mean it is pretty
cooks in
exhilarating
their
to when
garage
you
and they
have to
explode.
slowly lower that bird into the oil, and you're hoping that it's thawed enough and it's not wet and all those things. And you would know pretty quick. Luckily I've had never had an incident, but yeah.
It makes me
A little
like
nerve-wracking.
I feel like making a turkey that way, frying a turkey has like a 90% mortality rate.
Oh yeah, I mean
Well, it's
there's so many of
100%
those.
for the turkey.
Yeah, 90% for the person cooking it. You're either dead or it's really, really good.
Yeah. It is better than an oven cooked bird. I will say that.
Yeah, you know what's great on Thanksgiving is certified Piedmontese beef.
Touche.
That's good any day of the week, TJ.
Yep.
And that cranberry sauce out of the can. That's delicious.
Oh,
That's really good.
God.
That Jell-O, it's so good.
We did, Evan, last year when we were like a baby, we were a brand new podcast, and it was like we'd only been done a few episodes because we started mid-season last year. We had one of my favorite episodes ever. Go check it out, Common Fans, is our Thanksgiving episode. And we talked about half the time we talked about like Iowa and his Iowa arrival, but the whole first part of the episode, we talked about like our preferences on Thanksgiving meals. And this is where I revealed for the first time that I don't like turkey to these guys, and they couldn't believe it, and they called me a communist and all sorts of other things.
Sicko.
But that's a little, this is one of my favorite episodes ever, and it was so fun to talk about. Jeff, can you talk one more time about your approach where you segment off each type of food on your plate, and
Absolutely.
then you save the crescent roll for the end, and you
Yes,
rub the
in order of
crescent roll
operation.
in.
I don't think it's very unique, to be honest. I feel like a lot of
Yeah.
people are sectional eaters, but you got to work your way around the plate. Otherwise, I don't feel like you're making any progress. Like you're just kind of running in place. Like you get one thing done, check it off the list. The next one, you're done, check it off the list. So eventually, you've got that last crescent roll on your plate, and then you can just
Mop it all up.
op it
So
all up.
you knock off one side at a time.
Yep, exactly
Yeah,
right.
that was gonna ask that.
Sure.
So when you have everything
Corn,
separated, you're
potatoes.
eating, so do you eat, you've got to eat all your mashed potatoes first, and then
Yes.
those are gone, and then you go to the next item and finish all of that, and then you, like, so you
Yes.
go item to item,
Yes.
finishing every item.
Yes.
There's
Okay.
something wrong with you.
No, there's not. And don't you dare put corn on your mashed potatoes. That's
He used to do this
I'll take
in high
I'll take
school
like
too.
the protein and mix it with the mashed potatoes.
Oh
You know, like
yeah.
a steak and mashed potato, or like if I've got like a steak dinner, I got a mushroom, I'll get a mushroom or two, I'll get a little bit of mashed potatoes, and then I'll take that bite of steak all together. It's
Oh
beautiful. It's
yeah. Yeah.
perfect, Jeff. No.
Absolutely.
No, that's terrible. It's kind of awful.
Okay.
Hey,
Yeah.
in the spirit of Thanksgiving, you guys have a thing that you're thankful for as it relates to Nebraska football.
That's a
Ooh.
great, great
We're sitting around the
question.
virtual table
Great.
here.
Let's
We've
think.
said grace. Now everyone, you've got to have one thing you're thankful for.
I'm gonna get emotional here.
Take it easy.
I can go, guys. If you guys
Go
need to
ahead.
think
I
about
don't.
it.
I got to
Yeah.
think about it.
Well, one, I mean, I'm thankful for the bowl game this year.
Yeah.
But what also comes to mind, sort of bigger picture, is just, I know we all joke about like what, we have this illness and we're obsessed and whatever, whatever. But a lot of that is tied to like family and history. And so I'm actually like, my wife might dispute this a little bit because she thinks I'm a little crazy about Husker football, but I'm thankful for just like the fact that I have this in my life. And it's something that I shared with my dad, who's no longer here. And it's something that I continue to share with my siblings and the rest of my family and my dad's brothers who are still here and all these things. And so, like for me, like I said, I think I said this, or maybe I put it in writing at some point, but I do have this thought sometimes on a Saturday in the fall when I see those helmets run out of the tunnel, and I think to myself, like, what do people do when they don't have something like this? And it's silly and kind of maybe ridiculous. It's a game played by college kids, but to have something that's so cool and it's this like shared, like. The other thing I would say beyond family, I mean, certainly thought of my dad a lot on Saturday. And I told you, like, I cried. I got emotional on Saturday when they qualified for the bowl game. And a lot of that was like thinking about, I wish I could call my dad kind of thing. But also, it was just this overwhelming feeling of being a part of this community, this big red community. And like, I knew people who were on the field, right? And whether it was people in the stadium or people who rushed the field or people who are 1,000 miles away tweeting about how they cried or whatever it is, like we're all part of this community and it is really cool and it is really special. And so I'm thankful to be part of that.
Well,
How the hell are we supposed to top that,
exactly. That's hard to
TJ?
follow. I was just gonna
I'm
say the only
thankful
thing
for
I would
Dana Holgerson. Next.
I think the only thing that's even remotely, not even close to that, actually, that's so far and above. But I will say that I am thankful that the timing of starting this podcast, I feel like it's pretty cool. Like we're in a moment right now where we're finally, it does feel like climbing we're
back
starting
out.
to trend in the right direction. And we just happened to just put this podcast together. Well, TJ was the one that invited us to do it. We happened to put this thing together. I just feel like at the right time. So I'm thankful that everything is kind of, at least for now, seems like it's trending in the right direction, and it's making it a little bit easier for us to host a podcast and not be pissed off every week. So
yeah,
it's kind of like nice.
And I'll add something more serious too, since you guys said something meaningful. I'm you're taking a page out of TJ's book. I'm thankful to experience this with my son. I got to go to, we didn't have season tickets when I was growing up. I sold pizza for the best two seasons you could have sold them for in 94 and 95. So I got it. I got into all the home games. You know, I got to see by halftime or the third quarter, they would stop selling pizza and I'd find a seat in the stadium, you know, until my ride came. And I'm really just thankful that like this team hopefully is starting to get respectable and kind of, you know, climb out of this funk, this drought, this curse, whatever you want to call it. And I can experience with my son.
Hell yeah.
Cause you know, I do worry. I mentioned this before. Like I worry that we're losing the next generation of kids. You know, if mom and dad aren't real serious about Nebraska football, there's a lot of really cool, good programs out there that these kids are going to start rooting for. And I think for a long time you saw it with the high school kids getting recruited out of Omaha, more specifically than Lincoln, but there's Nebraska high school kids going to other big time programs because it's not just a given that they're going to come here anymore. It used to be that way, but it's not anymore. Those guys are, you know, they've got other options. Even the guys that maybe would have walked on, they're going to go get a scholarship to Iowa State, or they're going to go to South Dakota State or something like that. So it's important to me, and this sounds really corny and cheesy, but to kind of help this younger generation realize like, hey, this can be a really cool place. But the product on the field has to match your passion. So that's kind of, I feel like, where we're at. Like we need, it feels like we're starting to get somewhere a little bit, you know, it's a weird journey, but you know, to experience this and have it be fun for our kids the way it was for us. That's like the main thing that I want out of this. Like I'm so tired of telling my son about how good we used to be.
How
like
used
when
to
I
the
see
old days.
Georgia or Alabama on TV, like we used to be that good. And he's like, and he just looks at me like, give me a break. Like, but to share that moment with him on Saturday, beating Wisconsin, you know, and finally getting bowl eligible, like he doesn't remember the last, he was 4 years old the last time we were in a bowl game. So this is, that part's really special, and to experience it with him.
That's pretty cool, dude. Evan, what about you?
You know, I'm thankful to do what I do. And like, it's to hear you guys, it's a reminder that like, you know, a lot of people, this means a lot to a lot of people. And so like to be part of, you know, helping inform or enlighten or continue the dialogue that can maybe give people an escape or a little joy or whatever is very cool. I'm thankful for, you know, having a front row seat to some of the good that the program does. Like I often think this time every year about the seniors that have been around for a while. And I think back to how much they've changed since they've been there. And Ty Robinson's a guy that comes to mind for me now. I remember bugging him, calling him when he was a recruit in the Phoenix area in high school 6 years ago. And, you know, his dad had passed away and he was kind of figuring out who he was. And now here he is, a pre-med student. He's going to give the NFL a go. And after that, he's going to be a doctor. And like, it's just, it's really cool to see how he's grown and how he can, you know, share his thoughts, conduct an interview. And he's just one example. I mean, there are guys all over the place. John Bullock's like that. Isaac Gifford's like that to an extent. You know, when I was in college, Roy Helu was like that. He was a really quiet kid as a freshman, and he became very outspoken and has been a really, you know, articulate adult who's like my age, our age now. So just that kind of stuff I think is really cool. Like I remember making the transition from being like a starry-eyed fan to like getting to know some of the people in the process, and just to see how so many of them have come out better people and thrived in life after football. It's been cool to just kind of witness some of that transformation.
That's awesome, Evan.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Wow, good way to end, fellas. Good
yeah.
way to end.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for each one of you.
Same here, like man. That.
Thanks, Tej. I'm
Evan,
not
we're
thankful
thankful
for
for
green
best
bean
on season.
casserole. I'm not thankful for green bean casserole, though. I'm not thankful for that.
Oh God.
You know what, Jeff? You son of a. Evan, we are quite thankful that you have taken the
Yes, we
time to
are.
join us every week of this season and do this. And I think we'll do at least one more right
Touché.
after the Iowa game. Are we going to do one next week? Are you around next week, or
Yeah, we can do one
is that a
more.
little too much common fan with you for you?
No, we can do one more. We could save it for the bowl preview, whatever. Any, you know,
Okay.
we
All
can do
right.
one,
Well,
but yeah.
we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. And of course, we'd love to have you on maybe from time to time in the off season, understanding that, you know, you've got a day job and a family and other things taking up your time. But man, what a thoroughly enjoyable conversation and episode. I hope all the common fans will listen to the very end, because that last part I think was the best part. So
Great.
everybody have a great Thanksgiving. You will not be judged on this program if you don't eat turkey. But if you do eat turkey, that's fine too. Thanks for listening. As always, Huskers play at Iowa Black Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Go, they're doing a blackout. So if you're going, don't wear black, wear
No,
red,
red or white. I mean,
red
even
or
white
white,
would do.
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Just don't wear black.
No black.
And if you're not going, strap in, get your leftover turkey, get your leftover snacks, whatever it is, get ready to roll. All of the energy of Husker Nation needs to go toward beating the Hawkeyes,
Yes.
getting to 7-5.
Let's go get one.
And finish. Yeah, that's right.
Go
That's right.
take
So
it.
let's finish strong, baby. All right. We'll be back at you at it'll be the Monday after the Iowa game. We'll be back at you then, common fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.